pray before we begin. Father God, I just thank you this morning that we're able to give you all the praise and the honour and glory this morning. I just ask that you would help me now as I bring your word to us and maybe take it on to our hearts, Lord God, and fully understand and meditate upon what it means and impart the message that you have given in Jesus' name. Okay. I'm continuing on the series of talks of getting to know Jesus better through the names and the types that you've been given in the Bible. These talks are about getting to know Jesus better, more personally and intimately. He has many titles and we will only cover some of them in the brief time to come. Patty mentioned last week about Jesus being called the Word of God. He is the embodiment of the written and spoken Word of God. He is the Word of God become flesh to make God known to us. Today I'm looking at Jesus as the Lord. I'm going to read, first of all, the passage from Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In today's world, many are educating themselves, and rightly so, but the urge is for many to have multiple letters after their names. For example, I have the letters BSc, BArch, Ons, RABA, RSGA, which basically means I am an architect, have associations with architectural abilities, like, you know, associated with architects, and so, not to bore you too much more, that's what I have after my name. Others have titles for being an engineer, for being a vet, being a dentist. Once these titles have been gained, many reverse the process, so you would go and get the letters behind your name, and then once you've done that, you want to get letters before your name. For example, my brother-in-law is the Reverend Dr. David Owens. The doctorate came from his study in science, and the Reverend, of course, from becoming a Church of England minister. But the love of titles does not stop here. Each year, the Queen issues titles. Commander of the Order of the British Empire, which is CBE. Officer of the Order of the British Empire, which is OBE. Tidy hopes to get someday. Member of the Order of the British Empire, which is MBE, the George Cross, and the George Medal. Billy Connolly, the comedian, once knighted in the Queen's birthday honours, said he ponders about changing his name to Lancelot because Sir Billy didn't quite have the same ring. Sir Billy, along with Sir Paul McCartney and Delia Smith and others, have had this prestigious order and honour. Now, coming to my bone of contention here. And you may listen to this bit because I'm going to use this at the end again. Sir is the prefix by which I had the address to teachers at my school, and I found it with great difficulty to do so. I went to Grantia, and to address some of my teachers by sir was a very difficult thing to do. It was as if they had the right to receive the title without having worked to gain it. They were not sir by title. They were sir because they deemed the right for you to call them that without having the respect or worked for the reward to do so. I am now getting that age in life when I go to the petrol station or receive a call from the call centre, I am now called sir, where I stop them and say, listen, I do not have that title. My name is Keith. The right to have the sir title is one that must be earned, not merely demanded by those who think they have you in their premise, like a teacher or took care of you. That said, I came across a very interesting thing that really captured my attention. there is an idea, I'm not saying this is right, that the word sir means slave I remain, and was apparently used in the early 19th century when captured Indians had to address their officers as sir. Sir I remain, slave I remain. I don't think it's right, I don't think it's true, but it's a very interesting point. With all that said, we are looking at the name and titles of Jesus this morning, and today I have Jesus as Lord. I had to laugh to myself this week because when I was doing my research, I realised you could actually buy the title for £39. So I was thinking we could have Lord Mooney and Lady Ruth Mooney. And I was wondering, you know, when we came into the restaurants, how many doors it would open, could we buy more tickets at local events, come in here and get the best seats. In Shiloh, you'd be hard to push for the best seats. But the name Lord surely has more importance and meaning just than this. Generally, the term Lord was and is a courtesy title for social superiors, but its root meaning is ruler. In the governance of the United Kingdom, we have the House of Lords and the Palace of Westminster. They're known as Lords Temporal and Lords Spiritual. Their role is to scrutinise bills made by the MPs in the House of Commons, and if need be, the Lords oppose them, amend them, or approve them. You'll sometimes hear about the bills going before the Lords on the news. And when we look at Jesus today, we are considering his title as Lord. Jesus is Lord. Is one of the most radical realities of Christianity. It means that he is supreme ruler over all. The term is used mostly in the New Testament to identify Jesus. 600 times it declares that Jesus is Lord. The term Savior, just as a sort of comparison, is only used 25 times in the New Testament. The Bible, in the Bible, the word kurios, the Greek meaning, means Lord. And it means this: master, possessor, supreme authority, king, or owner. Generally speaking, a lord is someone with authority, control, who has powers over others. To say that someone is lord is to consider that person a master or a ruler of some kind. In Jesus' days, the word lord was used as a title of respect towards earthly authorities. When the leper was healed, or the leper came to Jesus and he was healed, he referred to Jesus as a Lord. He was showing Jesus respect as a healer and as a teacher. However, things changed after the resurrection. The title Lord, as applied to Jesus, became much more than a title of honor or respect. Saying Jesus is Lord becoming a way of declaring Jesus as deity. It began with Thomas's exclamation when Jesus appeared before the disciples after his resurrection, and he said, "My Lord and my God." When he had realized and saw Jesus raised from the dead, he referred to him as "my Lord and my God," the two having the same meaning. From then on, the apostles' message was that Jesus is Lord, meaning Jesus is God. Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost contained this theme: "Let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Later in Cornelius' house, Peter declared that Jesus is Lord of all. And in Romans, Jesus' lordship is linked to his resurrection. By the way, I'm not getting you to refer to all these verses of scripture I'm quoting here. Jesus' lordship is linked to his resurrection. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The statement Jesus is Lord means again that Jesus is God. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He is our only sovereign Lord. He is in fact the Lord of Lords in Revelation. Jesus referred to himself as Lord many, many times. And when we compare the Old Testament with the New, we find many times when the Lord Yahweh of the Old Testament is equated with the Lord Jesus by the apostles in the New Testament. For example, in Psalm 34, it says this: "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And this passage is alluded to in 1 Peter, except that Jesus is the Lord who is good. In Isaiah 8, it says this: "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 it says, in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. So we have the direct comparison between the Old Testament and the New Testament, alluding to who Jesus was as Lord, and in the New Testament declaring he is Lord. The apostles of the Bible had a deeper understanding of the concept of lordship than we do, and yet they addressed Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. They were from a culture that was different from ours. They understood what it was to refer to someone as their Lord, what it meant, and that the Lord was their master, their owner, supreme authority, and that their only function was to serve their Lord. And this is so important this morning as we get to the end of this later. The only function of the servant is to serve the Lord. In our society today, especially in Western culture, we do not want anyone to lord it over us. After all, we are free and independent people. We love referring to Jesus as our Savior. We love this. It appeals to us. It tells us someone has saved us from the consequences of our sin. It is very acceptable. Most Christians love that term. What is really difficult for many to grasp is that Jesus is Lord in our lives, and not just our lives, but our whole life. And it's not just a wee sticker on badge we put on Sunday morning saying, Jesus is Lord, come to church on Sunday morning, and that is it. I can live with Jesus as my Savior, but Lord, many struggle with. Does this mean that he will control my life, tell me what to do? No one tells me what to do. I am my own person, is the cry of many. This morning I want to ask you if Jesus is really Lord of your life. Do you call him Lord in your life? If so, do you understand the implications of doing so and confession that Jesus is Lord? Have you bowed your knee to him? Have you submitted your whole life to him as Lord or Master? Do you acknowledge him as creator over all things and the ruler in your life? Proclaiming Jesus as Lord means we are to obey what he commands us to do. I want to read just two other verses I read at the start again from Philippians. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, or those in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In saying Jesus is Lord, we commit ourselves to obey him. To obey him in every area of our lives. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? That's what Jesus said. This is a powerful, powerful statement that Jesus said to the people professing that he was Lord, Lord. Why give Jesus a title of honor and respect like Lord and then ignore what he teaches? An acknowledgement of Jesus' lordship is logically accompanied by a submission to Jesus' authority. If Jesus is Lord, then he owns us and he has the right to tell us what to do. Sounds a bit strong. This is speaking today of people who worship and praise Jesus in the church. You know, I was trying to keep a count of how many times Jesus was referred to as Lord today, and I lost count. And it was one prayer, there were so many Lords that I thought, you know, I can't keep up with count. But it's amazing how it just rolls off our tongues. Lord, 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 Lord. But are we saying that he's just Lord on the Sunday? Then Monday to Saturday, our lives are as we desire to live. People who remove Jesus from being our Lord over the rest of their week, they remove him from their work life, they remove him from being Lord over their private life, over their business life, they remove him from being Lord over their family life, over their finances. The list could go on and on and on. We don't always want Jesus to be Lord in all of our life, just the parts that suit us. To have Jesus as Lord means to surrender every part of your life to him. But I like to party at the weekend. I like to go down to Baddy Black's. It's hilarious, that place is hilarious. I've never been in it. But I only found this out because I'm dealing. I work with a guy that owns all these things, and I don't tell you this is not part of the talk. But there's a window at Betty Black's. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a window that they open up on a Saturday night, and you can rent it. And last night I drove past it, whatever night it was, and there was five women all standing shaking their booties out the window. And I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, if you could see the state of yourself. But there are many who want to go and spend their weekends living it as they want. Maybe they want to go at the weekend and go away on the lads' weekend and forget about the Lord. Maybe they want to go for a wee flutter on a Saturday. You know, many like to go for a wee gamble on a Saturday, put a bet in the teams. They're not. No, Jesus is not Lord over your life if you're doing these things. These appear a little extreme, but they exclude Jesus as Lord. A person who calls Jesus as Lord must have a full understanding of what it means. Jesus is God and has supreme authority over all things in your life. When we remove Jesus from Lord over parts of our lives, we are opening the door for sin to rule in our lives. This is the major part of this, that if you remove Jesus from being Lord over part of your life, that opens the door for someone else to come in and rule that part. Jesus said this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other." We cannot have two rulers in our lives. We must serve one and turn away from the other. And that means every part of the other, so that Jesus can rule in our lives. If you begin to love and follow after the world or after the sin of the world, you will grow cold towards the Lord. I've seen so many Christians fall away. Just fall away really, really slowly. But you see it happening. It's a period of deterioration. They let other things rule their lives, and they fall away. They fall away, and they grow cold from following the Lord and the things of God. It's difficult to watch when that happens. It is difficult not to desire to live in the world. It is difficult not to desire the riches of the world. You know, I'd love to have a massive big house and have a lovely big car, which I do anyway. You know, have lots of money and do all the things and take away the stress of the life. But that would be following the things of the world. They offer all the beautiful things with bells and knobs on it, and you really want it. But that is desiring to follow another ruler. You have to follow one ruler, and that is Jesus. He has to be Lord in your hearts. No one can say this: Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So far I've had Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord and He is God. So we've got Lord, Jesus, God, and now we have the Holy Spirit. And He is the agent that brings us to know God and to accept Jesus as Lord. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. He is our royal seal that we are God's by royal approval to know Jesus as Lord and to call to Him in prayer as Lord. Jesus is Lord. It's the truth, whether or not people want to acknowledge that fact. And this is very important. Jesus did not have to earn His title as Lord. He didn't have to buy it. He didn't have to purchase it. He is Lord from the beginning and will always be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I was looking at the possibility of losing the title that I was going to purchase for me and Mrs. Mooney. The reason being that a few people have been threatened on having their titles removed from them. There is a forfeit committee that exists. This includes the Cabinet Secretary in the government, top civil servants, the Home Office, top lawyers and treasuries, officials, and all these great and wonderful people can decide and make a decision if you can lose your sir or your knighthood. The Queen has the sole authority to remove a knighthood after taking advice from her committee. However, this has never happened, to my knowledge, and cannot happen after death. So you can be a sir or knighted or whatever during your life. The minute you die, you lose that title. So to try, for example, to take the title from Jimmy Savile, who was knighted in 1990, cannot happen now because he is dead. And it makes many, many people angry and furious that such a person could hold his title and now die and never have it taken away from him. But when a person dies, his title dies with him. And this is the point that I want, one of the points that I want to make here in the closing. When Jesus died and rose again, he retained his title as Lord. And furthermore, is the only person who ever had a title beforehand who went through death and rose from death as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Today, the Catholic Church, via the Pope, are busy handing out sainthoods to every dead person that they see fit, trying to give them a wonderful accolade now in their death. It means nothing. It will never mean anything, and it can never do anything for them. It is a pointless act to do so. I would like to now go back to my term as Sir. I know that I didn't always like the term. I know I don't always respect the people who demanded it from me. I was a bit unruly as a teenager. But I think there is a bit of credit to be given in the term Sir when I look at it from the phrase that I used to start with. Sir, slave I remain. Servant I remain. I say this in relation to how we serve others and our attitude of love and respect for them. But today, as believers, I believe wholly that we should all have the title Sir bestowed upon us. Servant, I remain. Because we serve the Lord Jesus, who is our supreme ruler over all. And as a servant, I will continue to serve him with all that I am. Not a slave or a servant in the sense that I am being oppressed or treated cruelly, but serving the Lord until I can offer no more. Serving the Lord with all that I am, giving all that I have to his complete service. Let us make our titles today choosing to be servant, I remain. Because we're choosing to serve the Lord Jesus, who is our Lord. And this is the greatest honor that we can give to the Lord Jesus. This is the only honor that we can give to our Lord, is to serve him with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our souls. To give him everything, because he is our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray.